That was so weak.
It's okay. You can do it again. Oh, that one was a good one.
Pick the best one, Mom.
Or do both.
I dropped my pen. Oh. We're back.
We are.
Ready Barely, for action. ain't that the truth, Sierra? We were just discussing our
ailments,
but we won't do that for you guys.
Just know that we are mere husks of a being at this point. But we survived all the craziness that has happened over the last month.
I can't wait to ascend to the ethereal plane and leave this meat sack.
I had a nickel for every time I thought in a day it would be so great to not have a body, I would be a rich woman.
Yeah, that's so true.
Like, I just want to exist without having to be responsible for keeping this, like you said, meat sack alive.
Truth. Sometimes I think too, my meat sack shouldn't have made it this far. Mm-hmm.
Really makes me like question like evolution.
God bless modern medicine, but also you and I both know that I would have died at birth, so maybe that was for the vet. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
So I think that explains how we are.
Okay. Anyways, yeah, my like slightly sad statement. I am joking. It is true I would have died at birth without modern medicine, but isn't that true for most of us? Probably like 50%.
Decent amount.
How many babies survived like before modern medicine?
I have no idea. I mean, at what point are you looking at? Are you talking about when doctors learn they should actually just wash their hands? Because there was that. There was this whole episode of a podcast called Sawbones, which talks about medical history. And this one guy figured out that like washing hands like increased like survivability by like 20% or something like that. And he was like, whoa. It's like, no shit, Sherlock.
Okay, this is all about like the woman dying, not about the baby dying. Probably was not 50% of us. I'm just special. But I feel like every C-section baby, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was not a C-section baby. I just want to clarify. I just decided to come out in the amniotic fluid sack. I didn't breathe it in.
That was very quirky.
Breathing air? That is too mainstream for me. The thing is, you do need to breathe air once you're born. So it was not very good that
Unfortunate.
I had done that. Great thought, though. Great thought. So anyways, thank you.
And now your song is...
I cannot get over that.
Just Breathe by Faith Hill.
Thank you, Mom, for having our podcast. We are going to talk about how you have songs for that remind you of both Sierra and me. And the song for Sierra is Brown Eyed Girl. So sweet. And mine is Just Breathe because I didn't come out breathing. That makes me laugh.
Sorry, it's not Just Breathe. It's Breathe.
Oh, it's Breathe. I was trying. I can do it now.
Kind of.
I learned. Anyways, any other updates?
Hi, everyone. We're glad to be back.
We are. I was very excited to.
I'm excited.
Record this again. May, though, was really... You know, I recently got a TikTok that said... the text was going to grad school right out of undergrad. And the audio was, if you're going to be stupid, you got to be tough.
That's so true.
And that's true. You know... I have this thing where I underestimate how much time things will take, and I also underestimate how hard things will be. And I told myself going into grad school, I only have to take 2 classes a semester. This is going to be easier than undergrad. That was the biggest lie I've ever told myself in my whole fucking life. Grad school's hard. is what I gotta say about that.
I feel like, you know, people talk about like, oh, well, in college, you kind of have to like teach yourself. No, in grad school, they just throw the book in and you're like, give me a paper. You're like,
yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Sorry, my brain just short-circuited because I didn't get enough air as a child.
You know, you're really an inspiration, Haley. You're like those kids that have cancer and win the rodeo. No, making it this far.
Literally no comment about that one.
I feel like we should explain a little.
No explanation on that. Sometimes you just are an inspiration.
And your grandma takes clipping of the newspapers and sends them to her other sick grandkids.
On that note. Okay, story. Would you like to hear a story?
Yes, please.
I think this one's an interesting one. I think I might have heard.
I think it's interesting.
We'll I don't know. I can't speak for other people. So the reason why I had texted you, have we covered this before? Is because I think I've heard about it before. And it was vaguely familiar, and I was scared that I was going to make a big oopsie. But we had not covered it before. I even looked back at the things because I was like, that'll be so embarrassing for me.
It's kind of interesting.
It might be. Who knows?
It might be kind of interesting.
So the story that we are going to be discussing today is a little old, almost. That was not true. The sentence I was about to say is not true. It's over 80 years old. I said almost 100, and I just feel like that's, you got to be in the 90s to call it almost 100. But it's over 80 years old, so. But it's an interesting one, maybe.
Maybe. Who knows, actually.
So, Alfred, either Beale or Beilharz, I don't know. I'm not going to say his last name again. is a go for it. Not my Slack. The Slack.
Your advisor has a lot to say about it too. I was gonna say, I feel like I practice the names of places and like people on my own when I do notes, and then like the second I turn on record, my brain's like, what is English? Or what is reading? I'll even like to spell it out phonetically for myself.
Yeah. I just think I'm always getting it wrong, and that's just might be life.
So apologies, Alfred, to anyone who's like, why can they not pronounce anything? It's hard.
Yeah.
Man, I just want to normalize dumb grad students.
True. Also, the Slack notification might have Logan to response is really, I need to get back into the podcast. My Pavlov little dog brain, when it hears a Slack notification, he's like, anyways, on that note, Alfred, 4 years old, little dude. He lived in Denver, Colorado, shout out, with a family of 13. So he was the youngest of 10.
Damn.
So like plus two for the parents. I don't know if that's how people count things, but it's how I did. Here's a little.
I just figured that he was the third youngest.
He's the youngest. There's a picture of the family. There he is.
What a cute family.
I know. This is July 1938. Different time.
Different time. Yeah.
But they decided to go camping in Colorado's Rocky Mountain National Park for Independence Day weekend. That's a totally normal thing to do from Denver, like still to this day. And the dates were like a little iffy depending on the source, but the weekend was like July 1st was Friday to July 4th on Monday. So around there. Just for information about the area, Rocky Mountain National Park is relatively close to Denver. I used to live right outside of Denver, and it was like, I'm sure it took them longer because cars aren't as fast as they are nowadays, but it's like really like an hour and a half, if that. Like it's 76 miles from the Denver airport to the Rocky Mountain National Park. Like it is a very easy weekend trip. The park is situated between two towns, Estes Park and Grand Lake.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like when you're in Rocky Mountain National Park, you are in the middle of nowhere. There is still people pretty close by. I mean, it's mm-hmm. a very big park. Like it's a very known park. But it isn't
like as isolated as.
Yeah. As some of the parks.
Yeah. I got you.
It is very high elevation. That is like probably not as bad from Denver because Denver is pretty high elevation. But the time that I went to Rocky Mountain National Park, I did get a little elevation sickness and I lived in Denver. So like it is pretty high up, and especially back in this time was fairly dense forest.
Mm-hmm.
So the Beilharts family, I said it again, set up camp a quarter mile west of the Fall River Lodge, right near the Lawn Lake Trailhead parking lot, just below Horseshoe Falls, where Roaring and Fall Rivers meet.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah, and also like, it's hard to say for in 1938, but that sounds like a pretty well-known trafficked area. Like yeah. If it was only a little bit from a parking lot, a quarter mile from a lodge, and where a horseshoe waterfall was,
yeah. Like,
I wouldn't think it's not well maintained.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I will say is that a lot of the Roaring River has very steep banks.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, like you're going to have areas where it's not as bad and areas where it's worse. And that area has changed a lot because in the 80s, there was a big flood because a natural dam that people had constructed. So they made it out of natural objects. It clearly was a natural, people made it. But this dam flooded, mm-hmm. like it broke. And that sent like a 25 to 30 foot high wall of water.
Yikes.
Down to Estes Park. It killed several people.
Yikes.
And it actually ended up flooding the whole town.
Uh-huh.
So that was like a very, very bad thing that happened in the 80s. And so I'm not going to show you a lot of pictures of like the Roaring River Falls and like, or the Roaring River. The Roaring River, because some of that has changed a lot geographically from that very famous flood, because it started in Lawn Lake and flew, like it went down that river. So mm-hmm. I will just say, like, if you search pictures, it's different than how it looked in 1938.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so William, Alfred's dad, decided to go on a walk the morning after they arrived and then freshen up in the river.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty normal thing to do, mm-hmm. especially if you're sleeping with 10 children.
I cannot even imagine going camping like nowadays with like a single kid, let alone like
10 of them.
10 of them.
Alfred,
or I guess 11 of them.
Yeah. Alfred decides to join his father. And then in some reports, it was these two family friends, but in some, it was just members of the family. Mm-hmm. Regardless, it's pretty clear that two other people came with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it said that the group freshened up in a stream. And then William and Alfred finished freshening up first. And Alfred was like, I don't want to leave yet. And he said, okay, we'll go to the other two people. And mm-hmm. William started walking back to the camp.
Mm-hmm.
Later, the two other men return to the camp and everyone's like, where's Alfred? And they're like, what do you mean? So Alfred had never reached them.
How far apart were they?
They were within eyesight of each other.
So they like, did the dad not, I guess the dad didn't call out, be like, hey, watch over him.
Apparently not. Or if he did, it was drowned out by the sound of the river. I don't know. There was no clear information on exactly what happened. So, but the campsite it seems like they did have more than just the family there, because immediately dozens from the campsite begin looking for Alfred, convinced a four-year-old cannot have made it very far, and with dozens of people searching for him, someone would hear him, or he would hear mm-hmm. someone. Mm-hmm. But after searching for a little bit, with no luck, like not even finding a trace of him, the family called in the park service. Mm-hmm. Honestly, great response. 10 out of 10.
We love when they immediately call the authorities.
I always get so mad when they're like, just kidding. We didn't call the authorities for literally 3 days. Like, why? Why did you do that?
Or what's the point? When the authorities are like, well, they might have just run off or like whatever. We can't really say they're missing. And yeah, that doesn't necessarily happen for like younger kids, but older kids, it's like, are you kidding me?
I know. So I didn't get a first name, but Ranger Moomaw.
I'm sorry, Ranger Moomaw?
Yeah, Moomaw. Moomaw contacted.
Incredible. The hero of this story.
Truthfully. So he contacted, it was just him who was nearby. And he was like, I don't think I'm enough manpower for this. King shit, Moomaw. So he contacted.
Moomaw knows his limits.
He really does. And we appreciate a man who knows his limits. So he contacted the Civilian Conservation Corps, which was mm-hmm. I cannot talk.
It was a poker.
As soon as the freaking record button, a program created by Roosevelt to help with jobs during the Great Depression. And also, you know, Roosevelt created a lot of like the park systems. So
nope, wrong Roosevelt.
There's so
Eddie and FDR.
Absolutely right. You're so correct. Mom, cut that out. But the right Roosevelt did create the Civilian Conservation Corps to help with the
FDR.
The wrong Roosevelt, the other Roosevelt, did the park thing. Cut that out. Anyway.
I'm sorry.
But that's what the Civilian Conservation Corps was. It was like, you know how they like made like the highways and stuff. It was just one of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I'm sorry.
FDR, not the one with the big stick. for help. They were contacted. And within 45 minutes of the initial contact, they had over 100 CCC members searching. So great response. 10 out of 10, yeah. Moomaw. 10 out of 10 to the family. They did not find any sign of him on the 3rd. So some reports say he went missing on the 3rd, but most seem to indicate he went missing on the 2nd. That they drove up the 1st, and the morning of the 2nd is when he went missing. Bear. I know you have a pipe cleaner. You don't need to scream about it.
Absolutely does.
She does. So there's no sign of him on the 3rd, the day after he went missing. But hundreds of volunteers and CC members were still searching. And bloodhounds were donated from the Colorado State Penitentiary System. But at this point, they failed to find his scent.
That's not good.
Currently, the Rangers believed Alfred had fallen into Roaring River and had drowned. So they dammed up the river on July 5th, but that revealed nothing. So soon after, that didn't really work out for them. They created a wire net near where the Horseshoe Falls are because his body would have had to drift that way.
Mm-hmm.
They created this huge wire net, and that too did not catch anything.
Hmm.
At this point, his family is positive he was abducted because they said it's not like him to wander off, and they didn't think he was stupid enough to fall in the river. But I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's a four-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't need to be stupid enough. He just needs to be clumsy. You say it, Bear.
I was going to ask if you could hear her. I get it. Why didn't you bring it here? Okay, no. She's just staring at me from the living room. So I kind of disagree with that, but I also get the parents being like, it didn't happen. But, you know, I just think, like, I could fall into a river. And I'm not a four-year-old who, like, has only been walking for maybe 3 years. So I don't know. Coming back to that later. by Wednesday, July 6th, the search of the river had ceased because by this point, his body would have flowed down. Like, you know, it was not worth the man energy to continue to search the river. And they got no evidence from it. So this really confused Rangers because they were positive that that's what had happened. And honestly, I don't think that was that bad of an idea. No. So now I mean,
it was a four-year-old by the river. The dogs couldn't pick up a scent.
Literally, like, it made sense. By Thursday, July 7th, though, around 200 searchers told local news reporters that they thought he had been kidnapped or got lost in the woods and had not fallen in the river, which I was like, 200? Why were 200 people interviewed?
Why was this mass of people?
Just like, he did not fall in the river, I swear it. That's how I think everyone in the 30s talked.
That's because accurate.
Thank you. But
I know from experience.
This is good reason. They said it seemed unlikely his body would have passed all five major beaver dams in the area and would have somehow passed through the wire net without them catching something.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Straight up, I agree. Retweet. Later in the investigation, more dogs were used and one team found a human scent. They specifically said human scent, which I thought was weird. I was like, his scent or human scent?
Yeah.
Leading to near the river. But that makes sense.
Because there's tons of humans.
He went to the river.
Yeah.
And then another found a scent in a higher elevation camp, but the scent just led nowhere, which was weird. Let me show you this little boopity bop map.
Is this showing the different camps?
This is the trail, like it was a little, I guess, upstream that they found the dogs followed his scent to. I'm pretty sure this is the original camp. I forget what this marker is. We'll get to the other two, these baddies, in a little bit. But you can see how, like, I mean, this is very highly elevation terrain in this area.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were in the lower elevation area, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So after 10 days with no leads, nothing to go off, the search was called off because what else were they supposed to? I mean, they didn't find him in the river. They searched other areas. They didn't find him anywhere. And there was nothing more to go on. So the official search was called off. And quite frankly, 10 days of like over hundreds of people, I understand.
Yeah.
So.
It's unfortunate, but.
Exactly. Like I don't love it for the family, but at the same time, especially when they didn't have like all the high tech we have nowadays, literally what else would they have done? I think they did what they could have done.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is like the one time where I don't have any qualms against the response. Like, I think it was a really good response. So on Sunday, July 3rd, the day after his disappearance, William Eels, who knows, can't pronounce last names apparently, and his wife were hiking in the Rocky Mountain National Park near Old Fall River around 1 p.m. When they stopped to rest and like eat lunch, because it's a pretty long hike. And they were shocked to look over at Mount Champin and see a little boy.
What?
In an area called Devil's Nest.
Oh, good.
Which is around 6 miles from the Bile Hearts camp. They claim the kid made a shrill noise, looked over the edge, and then looked as if he was pulled away from it by someone else.
I mean, concerned, maybe good, but
confusing,
but also concerning and also confusing.
Yes. Concern for the child. The husband and wife pair hiked to where they saw him, but found nothing, like no trace of him. And then they alerted rangers about a child in the Devil's Nest area, because it's really not a place for inexperienced hikers to be.
You mean the Devil's Nest isn't for kids?
No, I don't think it is. Let me show you a picture.
like in all of
the So country. This is where they were. This is where they saw him.
Mm-hmm.
That's Devil's Nest.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So by Sierra's response, I think you guys all understand that it would be very impossible for someone to climb this without proper training and proper gear. I think it is a challenging climb for even a very experienced rock climber.
Yes.
For a four-year-old with no training and theoretically no equipment, impossible.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So they have reported that they saw a child and they were worried. Very, very reasonable response. Once again, everyone's very reasonable in this one story. Yeah. Rare. So on their way back home, they heard on the radio about a disappearance of a young boy in the Rocky Mountain National Park. And they were like, huh?
Like, ooh, shit.
When they got home, they immediately checked their newspaper and confirmed the boy they saw was Alfred. So being the king and queen they are, they immediately drove back and told rangers. But rangers were like, no, he was not on Devil's Nest. Which, to be fair, I do actually understand the ranger's response looking at Devil's Nest.
Yeah. But also kind of like, I don't check it out at least.
Yeah, like you have a missing boy on your hand.
Yeah.
And from their story, it sounds like someone was with him. So yeah. Maybe someone got him up there.
Someone,
I don't know.
Did
abduct Can't imagine him. A four-year-old boy is like that heavy. No. So eventually a group of 150 men did search the area, but not immediately after the report. Mm-hmm. It was around July 8th. But they found no trace of him. Shocking. Like
how? Number one, how did he get up there? Number two, how did he get down?
I know. So really weird, right? For in a day, he not only traversed 6 miles of pretty tough terrain in very elevated areas, but he also literally climbed like a mountain. So
and then disappeared.
And then disappeared a few days later. Get ready for weirder.
Oh boy.
On July 8th, a woman allegedly spotted Alfred with a man walking on the highway together in Nebraska.
In Nebraska?
On the area, the stretch of highway from Big Springs to Ogallala.
Oh, yes, I know it well.
give a guess how long of a drive in modern cars you think Estes Park to Big Springs is, which by the way would be the closest city between Big Springs and Ogallala.
Sorry, what was that again?
And anemone.
God, I'm so bad at geography, I have no idea.
Let's go really with go for it.
10 hours.
Okay, yeah, you're really bad at geography. it is a 3-hour and 39-minute drive. Not everywhere is Texas.
I just expect it to always be so long.
Because like Texas to Texas is like 14 hours.
14 hours. You drive a whole day in Texas and you're still in Texas.
But it's a 66-hour walk. And they were walking, not driving. Okay,
so, you know, you cut the difference.
So this report was made to a Denver detective, and they did search the area, but found nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So also,
well, I mean, we don't know if they were walking the whole way. They could have hitchhiked.
Yeah, and also, like, you don't know if they were meeting someone. You also don't know if that was really them.
Yeah.
You also don't know how fast the response rate was. Like, that'd be the one thing that I mentioned is, like, she had to go home. She also, like, told her brother to call or something. Like, she made someone else call, and I never understood that.
But what the hell?
Someone else called the Denver detective, and then the Denver detective would have, like, had to get in contact with Nebraska police.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this would have taken a bit.
Man, it really makes you appreciate modern technology.
True. And people confidently calling people. Also on July.
Listen, maybe 8th, she just had some anxiety.
And maybe she didn't have a phone. I shouldn't judge her. Maybe her like brother only had a phone. I don't know. It would not have been out of pocket for someone in 38 to not have a phone. So also on July 8th, the FBI reported that they were conducting lab tests to investigate a soiled Band-Aid found in an abandoned cabin. Alfred's mother said it looked similar to the ones she had used to cover a blister on his foot.
Okay.
But I could find, I like literally looked at all these old newspapers and could not find anything saying about what happened to this Band-Aid. The reason I do mention it, because I originally was not going to mention it, because I was like, what the, this doesn't matter. Like, uh-huh. This is, ladies, like what, you know? But the reason I did decide to mention it is because FBI only gets involved when they believe there is a crime committed.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that implies that with they like the police thought
it was possible.
Yeah, thought there was a possibility of foul play / abduction.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason that I specifically mentioned that. The fact that by July 8th they were involved tells me that I think they pretty much abandoned the river theory. So nothing happened for 5 more months in the case.
Oh, shit.
When on November 27th, 1938, a ransom note was sent to William, the father.
Oh, shit.
The note read, "Sorry for your son. We went west. Out of money. The boy doesn't take to us. We will return your son if you will leave $500 in a can 1 block from your house and the note. We will return your son within 24 hours. Period. End of note."
He doesn't like...
the boy doesn't take to us. I say, we will return your son...
What was the issue?
$500 in a can. I'm making it British.
Where'd they go British? Yeah, wait a second.
The boy doesn't take to us, matey.
Who's this character? They're truly a master of disguise. I can't tell where they're from.
Sorry for it. It's coming out different every time I say it. I'm gonna not do that anymore. But $500 would be just shy of $10,000 today, just to give a reference. Mm-hmm. But I also think like buying power was different back then.
Mm-hmm.
$10,000 is also like a lot to ask for a family of 11 during the Great Depression.
Yeah.
Family of 13, sorry. So this was clearly reported to the police, who believed it was actually a hoax. But like on November 30th, the police claimed they investigated the note and had 2 possible suspects, but no arrests were ever made. So
what?
Yeah, they were like, we found them. Didn't name names, never arrested anyone. So I'm like, was it a hoax or did you just want to say it was a hoax?
Yeah. And also, I mean, yeah. The only reason I would say like it is a hoax is just because it seemed like a little odd 5 months later.
It also gives like no information
about like also, the kid.
Didn't go west. They went east and north, northeast.
So went northeast.
Big Springs is like right on the border of Colorado and Nebraska. So I don't think that's like out of pocket that they would be found on Highway 80 in between the two. But that's not west. So
it's like that's not west.
And also, if they went west, why would they be near them to find the can?
And drop off the kid.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was that. And that's basically the last information about this case.
Ugh, that's so sad.
It's really sad. The parents, like, to their death, were convinced that he was abducted and was still alive somewhere. So they really never stopped like looking, which I think sometimes it's like better to get closure in one way or the other, but like to be convinced it was an abduction and have no information.
Yeah.
and then get this ransom letter and like have a hope you can get your son back. But then the police say, probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Which I do think the police were probably correct, not to negate them in the situation. It's just, I feel like if I was the parents and I got that ransom letter, I'd be like, oh my God, $500.
Yeah, you couldn't help but be so hopeful.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically the only final theories are that still the theory that he drowned in a river and they just somehow either like an animal took him out of the river and ate him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was like animal meal sized. So
he was a good animal meal size.
Or like they just somehow didn't catch him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a few theories on that, how that could still be valid. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably not that one, just because they did have a pretty quick response. They dammed up the river. They looked at all the natural dams in the river and they put that net.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't sound like he would have moved fast down that river. And it really seems like they used their resources.
Mm-hmm.
The second theory, I'm kind of going in order of what I think is least to most likely,
mm-hmm.
is that there was foul play involved. And one of the articles, like just the very end, there was no implication of this until the very end was like, what if the family killed him and hit it? And I was like, what gives you that? They were being so cooperative and like literally the dad seemed so sad. Like, I don't think that's it. Or that there was like an accident maybe is what
they just hit it.
But I don't get that either.
Yeah.
It just didn't seem right for all the stuff that I read and like the papers I had seen. I mean, one of the like last papers that I read from the time, these were all old archived papers, mm-hmm. was the dad being like, I still believe he's out there and stuff like that. And that just doesn't seem like the words of a father who like hid his son's death. I don't know.
Yeah.
The only reason I didn't put this below drowned in river is like potentially foul play from someone else, mm-hmm. or the other things that they suggested is potentially an animal killed him, which mm-hmm. not foul play, but I think in the same vein of like got killed by something.
Yeah. Yeah. Got attacked.
But you know, when there's no body, I don't think you can consider something a homicide.
Mm-hmm.
When there's no evidence of a homicide.
Yeah.
So then the four or third option, I know. The third option was that he just got lost in the woods somehow, like got distracted while walking to the two other people, got lost in the woods. They just didn't find his body, mm-hmm. or once again, an animal ate his remains.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's extremely unlikely,
yeah.
for a four-year-old to get lost in Rocky Mountain National Park. The only reason I think that's less likely than the fourth option is because they did have such a quick response. And since the families like went out and looked for him immediately, I feel like he would have heard someone.
Mm-hmm.
But you never know.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's so many stories
where you're like, they were right there and then they weren't.
Yeah.
The final theory is obviously abduction.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is most likely, considering there were two different reports of there being like another person with him,
mm-hmm.
and how fast he just disappeared.
Yeah.
I think it'd be really hard for a four-year-old to disappear that quickly.
Yeah.
You know, and it almost seems like someone was waiting for him to just go right out of reach. And there would have been so many people, I'm sure, in the parks for July 4th weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That a dude plus a little boy probably wouldn't have looked that weird.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the little boy was upset. Like if I saw a four-year-old looking really upset, I probably wouldn't think much of it because four-year-olds are often upset.
They're
like,
always upset. Yeah.
So yeah, that is the case of Alfred Beilharz. I know it doesn't have much to it, but at the same time, it has like a lot to it.
There's just so many questions. Like, did they really see like a kid up there?
That's the other part is like, was that really Alfred?
Yeah.
I believe they saw a kid. But was it Alfred?
But was it Alfred? And then it's like, if it wasn't Alfred,
who was it?
Whose other kid is this?
Same with the spotting in Nebraska. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it reminds me a lot of, oh my goodness, now I can't remember his name. The one we've done before.
Dennis Lloyd Martin.
Thank you. I knew you'd know. Dennis Lloyd, it mimics that story a lot to me.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like he was the youngest of the family. He was right there with family. All of a sudden he wasn't. People searched for him immediately. There was literally nothing found from him.
Nothing found, but like some weird kind of happenstance where like he might have been seen.
Exactly. Some weird spotting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think it's, but almost this one, and both of them were on holiday weekends too.
Mm-hmm.
And like, honestly, like I do think it makes sense for someone who's trying to abduct someone to go on a holiday weekend to a park. Like,
yeah,
that makes sense to me as a potential strategy.
Mm-hmm.
It's remote enough, but busy enough.
You can get away, but also blend in. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, I just thought that was a really weird case. And I know it's kind of old. So like, honestly, even if Alfred did survive whatever happened to him and made it to adulthood, he's probably not alive today.
Mm-hmm.
But really interesting. And I think it's one of those stories that'll probably never be solved. And really sad for the family. Like, I don't think anyone really did anything wrong. You know, the dad thought he'd walk right over.
Yeah.
God, it was the 11th kid. Like, just let him eat Fruit Loops off the ground. Like, it's fine, you know?
Just scatter them. Like,
I mean, and clearly they were with other families, and, you know, with the different reports, either there were family friends that he knew or it was his older siblings. Either way, it was someone he knew. And
mm-hmm.
I don't blame anyone in this situation. Like, I don't think it was anyone. Not that I usually blame someone, but sometimes there's clear negligence in stories where you're like,
yeah, yeah.
Why didn't the police do this? Or why didn't they report it sooner?
Why didn't the parents do this? Or yeah.
And I just think everyone did everything right in this story.
And it just didn't work. It
still didn't work out, which is just so.
And it's almost more heartbreaking.
Exactly. I think that's really scary and really heartbreaking to know that, like, they did everything they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
And their son just never came home.
Yeah.
Always be careful in the wilderness. In conclusion,
keep your kids on the leash.
Leashes for Kids,
2022.
So yeah, that is the story of Alfred Bile Hearts.
I've definitely heard that one too.
Yeah, it seemed like, I didn't know all the details, but it was vaguely familiar.
Yeah. No, I definitely, or at least the part where he was like up on a like cliff or like mountaintop, yes, and kind of waved and was pulled back, was very familiar.
Which, that's so creepy too, that like he made a noise to the people and then was pulled back. Oh
yeah,
I don't know,
it's really,
it just, nope. Like, I got goosies over that.
Yeah, but then you also wonder, like, with that, you know, how is there no sign of like a camp or something up there, if they were up there?
And also, if the person who theoretically abducted him, you know, if the person was trying to get out of the park, why the fuck would you climb a mountain?
Yeah.
Unless he was trying to climb to, you know, a not well-traveled location and wait out the weekend or something.
Mm-hmm. But still.
Still weird. Like, probably not what I would have done. Not to be like, I would abduct children better. But
I get what you're saying.
It just doesn't seem like the most logical step for me.
It sounds like it would be very difficult to do.
but also abducting children doesn't seem very logical to me. So like, maybe I'm just not in the mindset. Maybe I'm just not in the grind set for abducting children.
That's good though. I think that's fine.
On that note, we're so glad to have you guys back, and we really hope you are excited too. If not, don't have tell us back. Once again, I can't take criticism. but I can take compliments.
But mere husks, please don't break our spirits too.
Please, it's all we have left. No.
Please, God. I need to pull up all the like email and Twitter and stuff. I forgot it, unless you have it up.
I don't have it up, but I'm gonna try to remember it. Oh, we have Twitter at @MysteryMTNPod. See your posts on there, because I simply forget things exist if I don't see them every day. So because I am a baby that does not have object permanence, apparently.
That's okay. So, you didn't get enough oxygen to your brain when you were young.
True that. Shout out Modern Medicine for me being alive. We have an email. Mystery Mountain Podcast, all spelled out, all lowercase. I don't think case matters though with email. I don't know.
I don't think so.
@gmail.com. We'd love to get a little email from here and there, from like story suggestions, or if you just want to be like, hey girl, girls, girlies,
girls,
orals,
oils,
goils,
ghouls.
We okay, good. Let's calm down. Email us and we would love to read it. Probably by Sierra first, because once again, doesn't exist if I don't see it every day.
Please subscribe to us on whatever podcast medium you listen to, and also rate us, again, preferably good ratings,
but speak your truth if you gotta speak your truth. I just want to cry.
Just know that will happen.
This is and a threat. No.
This is a threat that I will cry.
Tears will be shed, and I can't do anything about that because it's just who I am inside.
And on that note, thank you for listening to us, and we'll see you next time on Mystery Mountain.
Goodbye, Governor.
What the fuck was that? He's back.
That was like Southern, though.
I don't know what that was.
Governor, that's like a British thing.
Goodbye, Governor. Oh boy.